the Jewish believers, and as the writer here was we working now? All right. Let me start all over again. We were back, and I guess we were having technical difficulties there. But we were covering the book of Hebrews, and so we are doing the second part of it. And as we covered last week about the book of Hebrews being meaning transit, traverse, to pass over. And so we was looking at this as addressed to the Jewish believers who became Christians. And along the way, however, the enemy tried to get them to doubt or go back to the old laws of the Old Testament. And the writer here was trying to persuade them that no, again, that Christ was the way. And so the writers you're going to begin to see was constantly trying to point them to Christ. We covered last week about he let them know he was superior to angels, and that he is supreme. He is the ultimate word of God. He was superior to the Torah. He is, no doubt, the embodiment of the word. He also told them about he was the great high priest, as we covered last week as well. He is not only the priest, but he was also the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb that no doubt paid and took away the sins of the world. And so we covered 1 through 7 last week, chapters 1 through 7. So we're trying to finish this up, 8 through 12 tonight. And so many, as we said, so many action-packed verses to where, again, you can learn from the Word of God. But let's go right into it, because we don't want to delay here any longer. But Hebrews chapter 8, we'll look at, we're going to pick up at verse 8 through 13. Again, he was referring to Jesus now, the being sacrificed. We know he was a Lamb of God. As John the Baptist said, he's to take away the sins of the world. Naturally, we no longer need an animal sacrifice or a sheep or a goat. But Jesus now being the ultimate sacrifice for all mankind. He's going to try to let them know that as well. Because again, there was a rumor going around. The lies began to be spread that Jesus never rose from the dead and he was not the Messiah. And on and on and on, even to this day, many still don't believe that he came, as we covered last week. But he has come. He has given his life. He has risen from the grave. He now sits on the right hand of the Father. Thank the Lord tonight, interceding for you and I. Let's go. Verse 8, he says, finding fault with them. There's a friend of Jeremiah here. Jeremiah appointed them because he knew that they was not listening. They was not going to turn from their wicked ways in the Old Testament. And so he prophesied that there will come a day where the Messiah will come. Let's read what it says. He says, finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. He says, because they continue in not in my covenant and regarded not them not, saith the Lord. Verse 10, he says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, he says, and write them in their hearts, and will be with them a God, and they shall be my people. He says, I'm going to put it in their minds. Before, minds meaning hearts. I'll put it in their hearts. And that's why the scripture tells us, love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul. Again, they in the Old Testament were doing it on surface. And even today, it's not nothing new. If we're not careful, we can just surfacely serve the Lord. We can surfacely believe. We don't want to just surf on the surface, believe and confess. We want to absolutely let it be down on the inside of our hearts. This is what he said in verses 11. He says, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from least to the greatest. 12, he says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And in that, he said, a new covenant hath he made the first old. He says, now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. So he making a new covenant, a new agreement with mankind, to where this new agreement, this new testament would now be in their hearts. This new agreement with man through the Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's go to 11 through 14 as well. He hammered home again that Christ is the ultimate high priest, the ultimate, he
was pointing people to Christ. He was pointing them to
the true meaning, letting them know he's our all in all. He's our everything. And this is what it says, but Christ being a high priest of God, good things to come
by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, number 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And so he just rehashed what I had said earlier. I got ahead of myself there, but he showed them there that Christ was the one. He was the one, the ultimate blood sacrifice that mankind needed. He says, for number 13, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifice sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through an eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience, he says, from dead works to serve the living God. And so he says, Christ, his sacrifice, him living in you, his spirit living in you, is the ultimate one, to where now we no longer have dead works, but we are now alive in Christ Jesus. Let's go to verse 9:24. The Bible says, Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into the heavens itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Back to being a high priest. I told you last week about how that in the temple they had a big veil. They had a big veil, and the priest would have to go behind the veil, no doubt, to sacrifice for the people and intercede for the people. He says, now Jesus the Christ has gone into the heavens, has now went to our heavenly Father. He now intercedes, for he is now our go-between, to where the veil was rent. As we covered last week, when he was crucified, the temple veil was rent in two, to where there was no more separation. We can now have access through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number 25 is where we at, 25? Yes, he says, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have sacrificed since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world, he hath he appeared, he says, to put away sins by the sacrifice of himself. So now, it wasn't a year after year after year after year after year thing, week after week thing. No. Now it was once paid. It was once completed. It is finished on that cross. He did it once. And it was all that we needed. And now we just confess it. We profess it. We repent of your sins. Give your life to Christ. And no doubt that was the price that was paid. It wasn't something we had to do all the time and come back and again, rededicate all these different things over and over and over again. Christ gave his life. Now we repent of our sins. If you're living in sin, and it's not intended for us to continually to stay habitually in sin either. We'll come in a minute. But again, but to serve him and live for him in spirit and in truth, and the Lord will keep you every day of your life. Let's look at this in verse 28. He says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. He said unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And he will appear again. Naturally, if you're looking for Christ, he'll show himself real to you. We encourage you to look for Jesus. Seek the Lord's face. Seek his face. And on that, but look for the return of Christ, the rapture of the church. And one day he will return to the earth with his saints. And we will no doubt live for him eternally in the New Jerusalem. But he says, let's continue to keep our eyes and our minds stayed upon him. Let's go to chapter 10. The Bible says, and wherefore, in verse 15, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. He says, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. He says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So again, the Spirit of God is his witness also. The Holy Ghost is his witness that the Lord will do this. Let it be real in your heart. Not something you learn, not something that again, you're forced to do, but it's in your heart to live for God. Amen. Number 17, he goes on and says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's the beautiful thing about Christ. He will wash it away and throw it as far as the east is from the west. Cast it away out of your life. And don't go back to it. Don't you remember it as well? Don't go back. Don't go back to the things of sin. And no doubt, by the grace of God, He will keep you every day of your life. Number 18, he went on and says, now, where the remission of these, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness of the blood of Jesus. 20, he says, by a new and living way, he hath consecrated us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. So again, he's just rehashing, showing the parallel of who Christ is. He is now the one that we enter into. Number 21, he says, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promises. Let us believe it. Let us live it without any wavering. Be fully persuaded in your heart and your mind and your soul. 24, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love, to good works. So again, let us consider this. Let us love people as Christ loved others. Let us provoke each other. Let us persuade each other. Let us inspire each other to live for Christ. Let us be soul winners. Let us be men and women that can show the world that you can live for God. You can serve God. And we on the winning side with Almighty Jesus. Amen. You can't lose serving God. It's the best life you could ever imagine. And so let us provoke others to show them and point them to the way. Let's go to verse 25. He says, and forsaking not us the assembly of ourselves together, as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, as we see the day approaching. So he tells us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as well. That means whether it's through attendance and services, whether it's getting together in fellowship, whether it's, again, being a part of the body of Christ. Don't forsake the assembly. Don't forsake God calling you into the fold. God wants every man to be saved. He says, don't forsake that. Don't neglect it. Don't push it away. And not only that, but again, we mentioned through attendance together as a body. And also, again, through fellowship and the brethren and various things, we must all be together. Don't forsake it. We need that fellowship. We need to congregate and worship God together. Number 26, he went on and says, for if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice of sin. I remember the first time I read this verse, having it portrayed to me, I was like, wow, that is an amazing verse. He said, if we sin willfully. In other words, if you know it's wrong, and you continue to do it. You're just simply playing games with God. Don't play games with God. Just really, really mean business with God. Really, really get down and say, you know what? I'm not going to go back to the way I used to be. I'm really, really, really going to serve God, live for God, and follow after him. He says, if we sin willfully, if you know it is wrong, he says, there's no sacrifice for it. God is going to really not really honor that. And so we must bring up to full repentance in our hearts and our soul. But again, if you have sinned, repent, turn away from it, and don't go back. Maybe tell that woman caught in adultery, he says, go and sin no more. Don't go back to this lifestyle. Don't go back to that way. No doubt. He said, at least a worse thing come upon you. Many times he told people, don't go back to the way it used to be because there could be something worse off than what it was before. Let's go to verse 27. He says, but a certain fearful, looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. The certain fearful, be a part of that group that knows one day the Lord will come. One day the Lord will put our enemy under our feet. One day the enemy will be cast into the lake of fire. There is a lake of fire. He said, let us live fearfully this way, knowing that there will be ultimate judgment on all mankind, all creature, every angel, every fallen angel. God will bring it. So let that motivate you as well. That we see the day approaching. We know time is short. We know time is near. We know we're just a few years away, whether it's through our death, maybe months away, days away from us having to stand before God, whether it's through death, whether it's through the rapture of the church, whatever case may be, one day have this in your heart that we will have to stand before God Almighty. Number 28, he says, and he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And so he went back to the Old Testament stories of how they rejected the laws of Moses. They said, we don't want Moses. We don't want God. We want to do our own thing. We want the God of the other countries. We want the gods, the false gods. And so he's using this parallel. That's the same way man rejects Christ. He says the same way people are rejecting Moses, the same way they rejected Moses, the same way they rejected Christ. Don't be one that rejects Christ tonight. Let's keep moving. The Bible says, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy? He says, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Think about this. He said, how much more for mankind, not only just to reject Moses, but to reject Jesus, to reject Christ. Don't be that. Don't be that one. You know, come to Christ. Christ loves you. Christ can do you better. We said many times, there are so many blessings in Christ. God wants to bless you so much. Come on into the fold. Give your life to Christ. Cut your ties off with the devil. Cut your ties off with all the things that hinder you from living for Christ, sin, whatever it may be. Come to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it's the best life you could ever live. If far away is any day that we were out there running the streets, living in sin, I'm telling you today, you'll be thankful that you gave your life to Christ. Eternal life is worth it all, my brothers and sisters. Now, let's keep moving. The Bible says, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto him. I will work recompense, saith the Lord. Again, the Lord shall judge his people. We cannot run from this. There is a judgment coming. Judgment day will come for all of us, whether good or evil. We all must give an account for our lives. Let's move on. The Bible says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It should tremble. When people stand before God, they're not going to, we can talk big now. But when we come into the presence of God, man, we all going to fall on our faces at the presence of God. We'll all fall in fear and trembling at his presence. It's an awesome presence. He says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So I can't imagine falling into the wrath of God. Many times we see signs and various things in our world through natural disasters, and we see things and say, wow, can you imagine God's full-fledged wrath upon the earth? I would hate to even imagine. You can't even wrap your mind around it. And so it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Don't you know, God, our next heartbeat is in the hands of God. Our next breath is in the hands of God. And so we must live our lives soberly, intentionally, humbly before the living God, knowing that we are just one moment away from having to stand before him. Now let's go to verse 32. It said, because you remember the former days in which you, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both to reproach and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became compassion of them that were so used. 34, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. And so he let me, again, part of this purpose of this book was to get them back on track, for how to not to turn away. He says, remember, go back and remember what Christ has done for you. Remember how God loved you. Remember how you love God so much. Don't go back. Don't go back. And he's going to continue on here. I love this little section of verses here. He says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, along your Christian journey. It is not a sprint. It's a marathon. I've seen so many sprint out the gate, on fire for God. But along the way, they slow down and slow down and eventually fall away. We must continue on keeping your eyes on. You must, that's why I say we must pray every day. You must get negative thoughts, bad thoughts. Our pastor say stinking thinking. Get that out of there. Don't cast away your confidence in God. Trust God. Keep your eyes on heaven. Keep your eyes and your thoughts on God. Regardless of how rough the day may be, regardless of how weak the rough the week may be. I was talking with a lady at church last Sunday, a couple of days ago. And she said, it was a rough week for me. I said, man, you too? And so no doubt we go through things. Well, again, believe it or not, light afflictions, the Bible says, we all go through things in our lives. And so, you know what? But we must continue to keep our eyes on him, continue to keep focused and not cast away your confidence in Almighty God. Again, and so we see, and there's a great recompense of reward. There's a great prize in the end. Stay faithful. Keep running for Jesus. Keep serving God. Live for him. I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it. I'll keep praying. Keep believing. Let's go to verse 36. For ye have need of patience. So, yes, that's what we want, things instant gratification. We want instant. Voila, it's done in a miracle of time. moment of time. Yes, we read things in the Bible and say, wow, he did it in a moment of time. Yes, God can do that. But sometimes it requires patience as well. And so he says, we have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And so God puts us in the oven sometimes, not the microwave oven. He puts us in the pressure of the slow cooker. And through that time, no doubt it comes out. But believe it or not, in that slow cooker, man, that thing comes out so well. It'll come out so good because we waited and trusted God through it all. Let's look at verse 37. And he have need, yet a little while. He that shall come will come and not tarry. He says, and now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him. He says, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And so he says, let's not draw back. Let's not go back. Let's not turn back. Many of them wanted to go back to Egypt. You should go back and read about the history of Israel. They got mad at Moses. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to just do their own thing. And so he says, we're not of them to draw back. Why would you want to go back to enslavement? Why would you want to go back to the beggarly elements of this world? We must continue to keep your eyes on it. You know what I'm saying? Well, Moses, if God was real, why are we out here in the heat? Why are we out here starving? Why are we out here, again, eating like this? Or why are we out here warming around in tents and in the desert? Sometimes you may wonder why in your life, but keep your eyes on him. Why? What's taking God so long? Why is this not happening? Trust God through it all. Don't draw back, but continue to press on for the kingdom of God. I got two more chapters, three more chapters to go. I'm going to run through it. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Chapter 11 is what we call the chapter of faith. Some nicknamed it the Hall of Faith. I'm not going to go through all of it. It's an awesome synopsis of the Word of God. People who walk by faith. I'll give you some of the key verses in it. I'm not going to go through every account. But again, let's look at this. The Bible says in verse 11, verse 1, excuse me, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So really, he was telling them to keep the faith, to keep the faith. Don't turn around. Keep the faith. He says, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. He's about to give them a history lesson. Those that kept the faith. Number three, when it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God. And so through faith, you understand that in the beginning, God created. It wasn't a Big Bang theory. It wasn't some monkey turning into a man and from an amoeba to a rattlesnake, and then I turn into a man. No, no, no. It was in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Out of the dust of the earth, God created man. Out of man, he created Eve out of his rib. You believe it, you trust it, you believe it. And science and all these other folks out there in the world that come up with all these strange ideas because they don't want you to believe the word of God. The word of God is true. He says, by it, we understand the worlds were framed. Basic Christianity 101. There's no question about it. The Bible goes on and says, he says, so that the things which are seen are not made, the things which do appear, not made of the things which do appear. So there's a God that we cannot see, that we have not seen. But you know what? I know he did it. Every plant, every tree, every cloud, every star, everything, creeping thing, big thing, little thing, God made it. Bible says in verse 11, skip down to verse 11. He says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We want God to be pleased with us. Let us live by faith, brothers and sisters. Let us walk, but let's believe God for big things. Here in 2022, if you're hearing this video, this is done in 2022, but let's believe God. Whatever year you may be in, let's have faith and believe God for great things going forward. He says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 11:6, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's read it again. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. After this, he went on through a whole list of people. I'm not going to read all of it. He went through Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Jacob, so many people that he ran through. I'll jump in verse 23. You go back and read. He gave them the acts that they did, acts of faith that they went through. I'll jump in where Moses, he talked about Moses here real briefly. He says, but by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. And I thought about that. It really jumped out to me. I've read this a bunch of times, but I felt, you know, sometimes you just think about it. His parents moved by faith. His mom, especially, the Bible focuses on his mother. She moved by faith. She said, this is what it says. Because they saw a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid. Who cares what Pharaoh says? We're going to do this by faith. 24, it says, by faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So now when Moses grew up, he said, I'm not going to go. I'm leaving Pharaoh's house. I'm going to claim who I am. I'm a child of God. I am a child of the Israelites. No doubt. What Bible says in verses 24, 25, excuse me, he says, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. When you walk by faith, you refuse the sin for a season. Sin is just temporal. Sin was just for a little while. Then afterwards, when people, the Bible says, when sin is conceived, bring forth death. Most time people feel guilt, especially if you have any type of conscience of God. Most time people feel so bad. They feel so distraught. And sadly, they feel like they can't come back to God. No. Repent of it. Come back to God. But you see, it's only for a temporary moment. It cannot satisfy. Why break that relationship? Why break that commitment to God? He says, sin. He said, I'd rather suffer the afflictions. I'd rather fight off temptation. Do the right thing. No doubt. And then enjoy sin for a season. Sin is just temporary. It's going to fade away. And there's a great price for unrepented sin. And those that refuse to live for Christ. Now there is a great, great penalty for that. The Bible goes on to say in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So, you know, I'd rather serve Jesus than have the things of this life, the affairs and the sin of this world. Give me Jesus. Amen. Help us by his grace to walk uprightly, by his love and his mercy, by his strength, by the Holy Ghost. You can live for Christ every day and reject and overcome the things of this world. Number 27 says, by faith, he forsook Egypt. By faith, I forsook Egypt. When you come to Christ, you say, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going back to the way I used to be. I'm going to start living for God every day of my life. And the same thing is, it's a place of repentance. You get to the place of repentance where you say, you know, I'm not going to do this no more. I'm cutting this off. I'm going to have a new life. I'm not going back to my old me. I'm a new man, a new woman in Christ, as you may say. Not fearing the wrath of the king, he endured seeing him who is invisible. I like that part. He saw him who is invisible. He kept his eyes on the God of heaven and not on the pleasures of this earth. Chapter 11, we finish up. He says, what shall we say then? What shall I say the more, I should say? He said, I can continue on in verse 32. He said, I can go on even more and more and more. He says, for time will fail me. His time is failing me now. He says, Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. He says, and David. He says, also and Samuel and the prophets. 33, he says, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Can you imagine? Faith allowed them to subdue kingdoms, put kingdoms under their feet. They was able to win many wars because of faith. He says, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stop the mouths of a lion, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness was made strong, wax valiant in the fight, turned the flight of the armies of aliens. Number 35, it says, women received their dead raised to life again. He's giving you story after story throughout the whole Bible of how people were raised from the dead by faith. He says, others were tortured. He says, not accepting deliverance. He says, that he might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourges, yea, more of bonds and imprisonment, even through they kept the faith through all of these trials, through all of the battles they went through. 37, he says, and they were stoned and were sown asunder, were tempted and were slain with the sword. They wandered about with sheepskin and goats and destitute, afflicted and tormented. They didn't have the best of the best. They didn't have the best attire. They went without, but they wanted to live by faith for Almighty God. You may go without. Don't let that deter your faith. You may not have everything you want, but you have everything you need. Amen. Remember that. Number 38, he went on and says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the desert, in mountains, in dens, and caves, and of the earth. And these all have attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Think about this. They kept the faith. They kept going on for the God. The Bible says in number 40, for God having provided some better thing for us, then they without should not be made perfect. God has something better for those that keep the faith. Eternal life is better for those that keep the faith. Hebrews chapter 12, we're almost done here, folks. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 4. There's a reward for walking by faith. There is a reward. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also a great cloud of witnesses. Oh, let me read it again. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. He said, lay it aside. Lay aside these things that easily beset you. What easily beset you? Well, it's again, attitude. Again, a bad, again, thoughts and all these different things. Don't let things that are laid out before you beset you. Don't let the flesh, the temptations of the flesh beset you. Stay the course. Stay the true to God. Keep yourself in the love of Almighty God. He said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Number two, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on Christ, the author, the orchestrator, and the finisher of our faith. For the joy was set before us, before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's there now, sitting up in heaven. The Bible says, for he consider him that endures such congregation of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. He said, keep your eyes on Christ. We covered this last week, preached it last week about fighting through fatigue, fighting this race that you go through, the Christian race. The times, again, you grow weary. Again, Pastor Olson said not too long ago, I just saw his video when he was preaching the night. He says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. He's quoting the proverb. He said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Think about this. We must endure, fight through fatigue, fight through the weariness. War of your mind, fight through it, get the victory over it. Through things that come your way, you can win through Christ Jesus. Bible says, number four, yet ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He told him, he says, you know what? There are things in which people before us went through that was much greater, harder. They were beaten, they were whipped, they were thrown in jail. And these little bitty battles that we go through, I wouldn't call them little bitty battles, but you know what I'm saying? Everybody has their own issues. But you know what? You can win. He says, you put your mind back on it, what Christ did for us. Put your mind back on what the apostles went through, the women of God went through in the old days. You say, really? Is that really compared to what I'm going through now? People over in other countries are going through a lot of persecution as we speak right now. In the 2022, there are believers in Africa, in the Middle East, and Asia that are having to fend off again in the day and stand true to the gospel. No doubt, and many are beheaded, many are killed, many are in prison for the gospel's sake. So what we go through, is it really worth giving up for? Now, let's look at 12, 7, 11 through 17. 12, 11 through 17. He went on a little bit further about chastisement as well. Told him don't give up along the way. He said, now chastisement for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. No chastisement for the present seemeth joyous. But grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, he yielded peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. He says, go through it. Correction, battles, whatever it may be, let the Lord correct us. Let the Lord make us and mold us and prune us. Cut back. Again, corrections through teachings and preachings. We must be strong believers to where, you know what? This is for my own good. Number 21 says, wherefore, lift up your hands that hang down. And the feeble knees, then again, don't give up. Lift up those hands. Find a place to pray. Get a hold of God. 13, when it says, and make straight the path for your feet, lest which is lame be turned out of the way. He says, let it rather be healed. And so when you have that second thought about giving up, you have the second thought about throwing in the towel, walking away from God. No. He says, get back on the course. Lift up those hands. He says, don't be lame. Stop being lame. Stop being a sorry Christian. It says, don't be turned out of the way. Stop being lame. Say, you know what? Let me get up and fight through this battle. Let me get up and stop feeling sorry for myself. Let me get up and stop letting the devil have the victory in my life. Let me get up and go on and walk the victory. Number 14 was follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. This is a key verse. We must follow peace, be at peace, beyond all understanding. Be at peace with your fellow man. Have no bitterness, have no hatred in your heart. Have not, again, things that will cause you to be distraught and depressed, all of that. Be at peace with God. Follow, live right, do right. Follow holiness, live a separated life. Holiness means separated life. Be separate from the world. Don't be like the world. I know, again, today, the glamour and the glitz and all of the pomp of the world. You know what? Be separate, be holy for the kingdom of God. Be different. Young ladies, be different. You don't have to be like the world, dress like the world, act like the world. Be different. Young men, be like the people of God. Serve God. Be holy as unto the Lord. He said you can't go to heaven not being holy. Number 15, he went on, says, look diligently, lest any man fail from the grace of God. At least any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, thereby many be defiled. He says, guard your hearts as well. Think about the weeds that grow up in the ground. And it comes up. If you don't pull those weeds up quickly, they will spread throughout your whole garden or throughout your whole yard. Or wherever it may be, he says, a root of bitterness. Bitterness can mess you up. Bitterness can cause you to be destroyed. It will mess up your life. Shake it off, blow it off, pray it through. Say, God, pull up the weeds of bitterness out of your life. The weeds of bitterness. And with sin, whatever it may be, get it out, pluck it out quickly. Repent of it and get back on the course. But 16, it says, at least there be any fornicator, profane person as Esau, who after one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And he used the illustration about fornication, but it really any sin. Fornication was the sex outside of wedlock. Or anything, profanity, on and on and on. Don't let these things be a part of your life. You'll sell your soul out for a few minutes of sex. Sell your soul out for getting a rendezvous. Sell your soul out for drugs, alcohol, whatever the case may be. Sell your soul out for money, whatever it may be. Don't sell your birthright. Don't sell it out. He used Esau's illustration. Number 17, he says, for ye know how that afterwards ye should have inherited the blessing. He was rejected. He shows us here, sin will cause you to be rejected. If you don't repent of it, don't turn from your wicked ways. If we allow sin to harbor in our hearts, we must continue to pray, seek God, stay walk uprightly before Him. Keep your mind pure before the Lord. He says, for He found no place of repentance. And that's really the greatest danger, is not repenting. Again, today, along your Christian journey, you may fall. You will fall. But you know what? Repent of it. Say, God, forgive me. If you've done something wrong to someone else, ask that person for forgiveness. He says today, again, he found no place of repentance was Esau's problem. If he would have asked for forgiveness, God would have forgiven him. But he didn't find a place of repentance. He let it hang over his head all the way to his grave. Though he saw it covered with tears. And so, again, you think about it. We must truly repent of Almighty God, to Almighty God. Let's go to chapter 12:25. So we wrap this up. He says, see ye, refuse him not that speaketh. For if they escape not to who refused him that speak on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. So again, we must take heed to the voice of God, to the blood of Jesus Christ. He went on and said a little bit further. 26, for his voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. 27, and this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things which are shaken, as the things which are made, and the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. He says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. He just kind of wrapped it up and put a bow on it and says, you know what? Live for God. Repent. Serve God. Walk in the grace of God. Walk humbly before God, realizing that God is almighty. He's watching our steps. He orders our steps. Let Him order your steps. He sees everything. We can't hide anything from God. Don't try to hide like Adam hid. Try to hide his sin from God. No, repent of it. make it right with God, get right, get back in the, on the race. And so he says, because God is a consuming fire, everything, no doubt, will be one day consumed that is not of him today. But we want the fire of God to live in us, to burn away sin, to burn away chaff, to burn away unrighteousness out of our lives. Let's finish up with this last chapter, 13. Number 1 through 6, he says, let love, let brotherly love continue, or let brotherly love continue. He's wrapping up the letter to the church. He says, let us walk in brotherly love. Love for Christ, love for one another. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. He even let them know, he says, you'd be surprised who's in your presence. Angels, and it shows us here that angels can appear as men. They can appear as men. And so I'm saying, that's my guardian angel. Understand, you know, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised who God may send your way. Be, in other words, treat people right. You never know. Well, they made me mad on this one, that, and the other. We should be in the business of winning people to God anyway. But you never know who may be watching your life as well. We want to be true to all men. Number 3, 1 says, remember them which are in bonds as bound up with them. He says, them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. So again, he says, let's have compassion for people. Let's feel their pain, if you please. Let us feel and go through it and have compassion and understanding for people. And he went on to touch a few subjects here. Marriage is honorable in all. The being undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God would judge. He continued to hammer home about sexual purity. Sexual purity is key. It's key. It was probably some issues in the church. It's going to be issues until the day you die in our society. Again, the devil would use that to cause problems in the land. He told us about how prostitution and all of that. He said, don't prostitute your daughters out. He says, lest the land be defiled. That's over in the Old Testament. But you know what? Again, we live in a world where sex is glamorized and it's used in the wrong sense that it should not be used in. So he continued to hammer it home. Get married. Get married. Marriage is honorable. But even that, we see how marriage has been defiled as well through homosexuality, through gay marriage, and all these different things. It's been defiled as well. But true marriage is between a man and a woman. Let's continue to move on. Let your conversation, 5, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for you, it said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, you know what? Let your conversation be not always about possessions and money and all these different things. Focus on me. Focus on the kingdom of God. And I'll take care of the rest. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'll take care of you. Number 6, he went on and says, so that we may be boldly saved, the Lord is my helper. We cover Daniel on that. How Daniel, he refused to eat from the king's table. And you know what? The same thing here. You know what? My substance, my hope, my everything comes from the Lord. Again, today, we thank God for him being our all in all. God will provide for you. And that's what really they showed in the land, in the wilderness as well. Moses showed them that God was going to feed them. God was going to cover them. God was going to bless them. He is our all in all. Let God be your all in all as well. He says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So God will help you through trial, tribulation, famine, whatever the case may be. God will be with you. 7 and 8, verse 7 and 8, he says, remember them which I have rule over you, which I have spoken unto you, the word of God, which whose faith follow. Consider the end of that conversation. And so let's pause there for a minute. He was dealing with the pastors and dealing with elders and rulers and preachers. Now God puts a pastor, again, we are pastors of this church. God has placed us here. He says, remember them, the words that we speak. Again, not to hurt you, but only there to help you. Take heed to the advice. Take heed to the words we give, because, again, these are key to your soul. Again, today, we don't want to be Lord over you, but, again, we try to guide you in the right direction. Whether it's decisions and personal life, it's important. Verse 8 is a key verse. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forevermore. Just give you a couple of nuggets as we close up. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forevermore. Never fail. He was there in the beginning. He's there now. He was there, no doubt, again, in the future as well. It's all about him. It's all about him today. Number 13, 15 through 17, he says, but them, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanksgiving to his name. So let's continue to glorify the Lord with your tongue, with your life. Glorify the Lord. 16, he says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with the such sacrifice, God is well pleased. So again, he's just closing up the letter here, just giving them some final thoughts. Live the life, be a blessing, help people along the way. He says in 17, obey them that have rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Again, back to the church leadership, the teachers and preachers, pastors, bishops, whoever may be overseers. They watch it for our soul. I watch for your soul. We only give these things to help you along the way. As they might give an account, that they may, that you may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. So again, he even said it's a joy to help you. We hate to have to preach hard many times. We hate to have to preach correction. Again, it's part of it. But you know what? We'd rather preach that is profitable to you. So back to what he said here, again, it's profitable for you. Don't take it the wrong way. It's only there to help you. As any good shepherd would do, he would get his sheep back in line many times. It's only there to guide us along the way. Number 13, he goes on and says, we close up 20 through 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. He says, whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he closed it out. He pointed them back to the shepherd. He was ready to let them know it's really coming from the Lord. He's just trying to get us to the shepherd, trying to lead us to that place, that eternal rest. Let us take heed to it. Let us follow after it. Let us follow Christ, the supreme being. That's what he was trying to point them to. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, all in all. God bless you. I pray. Keep your eyes on Christ. Serve the Lord. That concludes the book of Hebrews. And keep your eyes on him, the author and the finisher of our faith, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, who sits on the right hand of the Father, who loves us and gave his life for us. He's the epitome of the word of God, wrapped in one, the lion and the lamb, the shepherd and the sheep at the same time. And no doubt he's king, Lord of all, but he's servant of all as well. He was letting them know he's our everything. He let them know, again, we must trust in him, believe in him, who he will one day set up rule and reign, and he is our ultimate judge. What will we do with Christ? What will we do with the blood of Jesus Christ? Let's not neglect it. Let's not neglect your soul. Serving, live for him. Let's be on the right side. Let's be a friend and a follower of Christ and not an enemy of Jesus Christ tonight. God bless you. I pray we look forward to see you this Thursday night in person. In person, 334 Astor Street. Come on out, be with us. We're looking forward to great, great things in store. This the spring season is getting closer. It's getting closer. And so we're looking forward to some great things coming up. And still we'll make more announcements about it. Tune in Thursday night. Come join us Thursday night, 334 Astor Street, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you. We'll see you soon.